Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see you. Wonderful to be here. When I left Michigan, it was 32 degrees. Karen was so concerned what to do with me when we got here, and I said, just leave me on the sidewalk. I'll stand in the sun and be perfectly happy. It was just great. Thank you, everyone. Beautiful children's music this morning. We've been blessed by the word already, that great reading of the word with such power, and Linda's piano playing with gusto and fervor, and the children's story, Terry, I'll never look at a hammer the same. We've been blessed already, amen? Lovely prayer, really appreciated that. You know, I still, when I see my name in the bulletin, I just think, how did that happen? How did that happen? I've been doing this work for many years, and being the health ministries director, or the health and temperance director, as it is also called, is really enough to clear a building, isn't it? And I remember one time being introduced in a church by an elder. I don't know what dear saint got me in that particular church, but I don't think the enthusiasm was really high. And the elder who introduced me was a real sweet man, but he wasn't, I don't know, on board, I guess. I guess he didn't know what to expect. He said, in introducing me, he said, "We're so glad to have Sister Griffin here to talk to us about health." And the congregation said, "Amen." And then he said, "Now health, that's important, but salvation, that's the thing." And they all shouted, "Amen." And I, in other words, please leave immediately. As I was sitting there listening to that introduction by a friend, I thought, you know, we're told in the Word of God, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There's a brain-body link with all that we do. And by the way, we've heard a lot about addictions this morning already. And this afternoon's program, we're going to be talking about addictions and depression and the brain-body link and the deep roots of addiction and how to live free. Amen? Does that sound like a topic we could all benefit from? I know that I could and can and will. Today's topic is Engineered for Success. That's the wrong program. That's this afternoon's program, sorry. Let me put it up. So that was an announcement for this afternoon's program. There we go. Let's get to the first. That's it. Engineered for Success. Well, people sometimes will look at me, and I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony, because I'm going to speak to you today from my heart as well as my head. Is that fair enough? Otherwise, why speak from just, you can go on the web and find information in minutes. So people look at me and they'll say, well, you know, sure, it's probably easy for you to run around telling people what to do. You kind of look like a librarian. You're thin, kind of thin. And probably organize your clothes according to color, you know. And that's true. That is true. And I do like libraries very much. But the fact is, I was not raised in a strong Christian tradition. I was raised in an extremely violent home. My theological teaching was one of eternal torment. I did not know any other teaching. It was a very abusive home, and so I started running away from home when I was 5. By the time I was 11, I think that's why I love studying the brain and recovery, because God's hands are all over renewal, restoration, and recovery. He knows all about you. He knows what situation you're in. You may have gotten yourself in a situation, you don't know how you got there, and you don't know how you're going to get out, but God does. And he knew what he was getting involved in when he got hold of you. By the time I was 11, I was running away chronically, but I had very good grades because I would hide in libraries. By the time I was 11, I was already seriously involved with a runaway lifestyle. Drugs and smoking, and developed an eating disorder, bulimia, which I had for 20 years until I was 31 years old. I ran away for good when I was 17 years old and came back a year later when I found out that my mother was dying of cancer. My father left home when I was quite young. So the situation was unstable, unsafe, violent, and terrifying. I don't have memories of feeling safe in my early childhood. So I came back to take care of my mother. I was driving her to an appointment one day for a treatment, and I passed a complex of buildings. And the buildings weren't so hot, but I loved landscaping. I've always loved landscaping. My family was in the wine business. I was raised in the wine industry. But so I've loved landscaping and grapes, things like that. So anyway, I noticed the landscaping and I mentioned it to a friend of mine. And I told this friend of mine, there's this building, this complex of buildings, and it must have something to do with venting systems, and it must be open 7 days a week. It's called Seventh-day Adventist. And she said, Vicki, she was a Christian Scientist, she said, Vicki, that is not, that's not a construction facility, that is actually a university. And that's their name, Seventh-day Adventist. I'd never heard of a Seventh-day Adventist. By this time, I was a very hardened atheist and very angry human being and had no hope. And you know, the heart of health is hope, not lab tests. It's hope. Because without hope, knowledge and information just crushes, doesn't it? We've got to have the hope of Christ. It was the meat and drink of Christ to bring hope and strength to all with whom he came in contact. And that's our ministry, individually and corporately as a body. So I remember looking at my friend and saying, well, anybody that landscapes like that can't be all bad. I think I'll go there. And she told me, she said, well, Vicki, I don't know that they would really know like what to do with somebody like you, an atheist. You know, they're like not too fond of this type of person on their campus. And so in those days, you had to go for an interview if you were a non-Adventist, non-believer. And I was no exception, so I had an appointment with the president of the university, Dr. Osmundson, and I went into his office. And my friend told me, she said, Vicki, if you want to get in to this school, just tell them that the body's a temple. If you tell them the body's a temple, they'll let you in. That's what she said. So I went in to my appointment, and I said, you know, Dr. Osmundson, I don't know too much about you people, but I really like the idea that the body's a temple. And his eyes lit up, and he put his arm around me and gave me a big shake, big hug, and he said, I wish we had more young people like you on this campus. And I was in. And I remember thinking, are they all this naive? This is easy, man. This is going to be piece of cake. Well, I met my husband there, my husband Dane. He was backslidden, so he liked me. And we ended up marrying. We had an amazing 32-year marriage, 28 of which we were in full-time ministry. So it's incredible what God can do. Incredible what God can do. He rests in Jesus now, waiting for his soon return. Amen? And it was a tragic loss, but my hope is in Christ. So today we're talking about being engineered for success. We will never forget Hurricane Katrina. How many of you remember that hurricane? I wonder how many people named their child Katrina the year of Hurricane Katrina. It's the second largest hurricane in history. And it took place in 2005, in August. Five Gulf states were slammed with 175-mile-an-hour winds. The devastation was enormous. There was a 20-foot storm surge, and 80% of New Orleans was under 20 feet of water. It affected 15 million people, and 2,000 people lost their lives. The damage was $75 billion with a B, dollars. It was the costliest hurricane in U.S. history. Amazing, isn't it? And you know, we don't see that on the news right now. We don't see much about Hurricane Katrina, rarely. But they're still recovering from the damage from that hurricane. There are still problems from that hurricane. Do you remember that? Do you remember watching this thing unfold on television? So, a broken city. This is very interesting to me because another degree I have is in public administration, and I used to like to work on city revitalization plans. And the description of this city nails it. A broken city has two problems, not just one, but two major problems. One, damaged infrastructure. What is infrastructure? What is it? It's communication systems, roads, transportation, all of the things that give a city synchrony, economy, that allows a city to plan and to grow and to thrive and develop. And when the infrastructure of the city is damaged, it ushers in a second major problem: weakened defenses. Did we see that on television in New Orleans? We saw this city that was decimated. The helpers could not get to the victims. Transportation systems were broken down. And because of the vulnerable condition of the city, then those who were willing to take advantage of its vulnerable condition became vandalized. There was violence in this city, unspeakable violence in the city. So a broken city has ceased normal function and is now in what kind of mode? Now it's in survival mode. Let me just move my notes here. So plans for development and growth are shelved. Now the city is in survival mode. Have you ever been in survival mode? Have you seen that poster of the little cat hanging by the branch? And what does it say underneath? It says, hang in there, hang in there. You ask people how they're doing. And you know, in the American culture, we brag about it, don't we? How you doing, Sister Griffin? Oh, you should see my schedule. You know, one trip after another, I land here, I have to go there, and then I have to produce this and that, and you know. And we admire people that are just killing themselves instead of saying, you know, that's really kind of dumb. So we burn ourselves out being out of balance. Such a city is affected in every sector of the city. So what was the major cause of damage in New Orleans? Was it the initial hurricane, the initial 20-foot surge? No. What was the major source of damage in New Orleans? It was the broken levees, wasn't it? So now let's say we get the Corps of Engineers in to repair those levees. Is the city now fixed? No, it is not. Such a city is in need of renewal, recovery, and restoration in every sector of that city. It's in need of a comprehensive makeover. God uses the things that we can see, it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. God uses the things that we can see to help us to understand clearly the things that we cannot see. And the Bible likens our broken brains to that exact scenario. And that's why sometimes I call this afternoon session healing the broken brain. The Bible says that a person without self-control is like that city that has two problems. Number one, it is what? Broken down. Damaged infrastructure. And secondly, it is what? It is without walls. It is now vulnerable. It's vulnerable to stress, vulnerable to addictions, vulnerable to breakdown, vulnerable to depression. God has one organ to speak to us through, and that is these brains. You don't have a higher thinking separated part that does your thinking for you. Your thinking is done through your brain. And so God is all about healing these broken brains of ours. It says in a book called Steps to Christ that man was originally endowed with a noble character and a well-balanced mind. How many of you would like that back? Hey, I want it back, brothers and sisters, and I'm willing to fight for it. How about you? So what kind of challenges can hinder healthy brain function? Well, stress, chronic stress, depression, bad habits, addictions. Yes, that broken city powerfully illustrates our broken brains. A brain that may have been broken down over time. The good news is that God understands. He knows all about it. And he's in the healing, restoring business. I don't know what committee in heaven decided to make me health ministries director. My husband used to tell me, Vicki, I think your motto is ready, shoot, aim. Do you ever think before you open your mouth? I had zero tools for living. I had zero ability to manage life. I had no recipe for tunneling through trouble. My response to every problem was to run. And then being bulimic and using drugs and smoking on top of that did not help. So I am thankful today that I have a working corpuscle in my head. I can just say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Maybe the Lord has me in this work because I have to keep repeating this stuff to myself, and you just get to listen in. How about that? So there are major brain influences, and this is pretty fascinating. I love science. I love the study of science because I'm seeking for God. You know, I'm 100% Italian, and my father, being in the wine business and involved in circles that, you know, were pretty powerful, I'm always looking for the big one in the room. You know what I mean? Who's got the contract here? And where's the big one in the room? Well, when I finally heard about Christ and that he died on the cross to create an incredible righteous, a reservoir of righteousness and power, that he's the big one in the room, I was so angry. When I went to school, because I was so abused, when I went to school, I got my social work degree. I did child abuse investigations. Then I went to law school. And I was going to be a prosecutor, put everybody in jail. Then there would be nobody to put me in jail, and I needed to be in jail. Then I worked in the finance industry, repossessed cars, and skipped trace on bad checks. And then when I got my master's degree, I was going to zone a city perfectly. But then I realized that I was the one that was out of control, that my attitude was terrible, it was sinful, that I wasn't just a victim. I was a sinner in need of grace. And when I gave my heart to God, I was throwing up a dozen times a day. I was about 25 pounds thinner than I am right now. I could not stop what I was doing. I had no power. I was without hope. I was without God in this world. And so when I had my prayer, it was not one of these lovey-dovey, oh God, I love you, you're so amazing. The Bible says that we love because God first loves us. It doesn't say we come to him because we love him. It says we come to him because we need him. And that's why I came to God, because I needed him. And so my prayer was kind of ridiculous. I said, God, now I understand the devil. And I am so angry. Now I know who to be angry with. And I am so angry for the wiped out life I've had. I just want to spend the rest of my life paying him back for what he did to me. And so I'm going to make a contract with you. I'm going to give you everything I have, and I'm just asking you that you use me to spend the rest of my life putting him out of business. That was my prayer, and he heard me, and he hired me. So here I am, a hitman. So there are three major areas that actually influence your brain. And by the way, the Bible states very clearly that God knows where you were born. He knows your genetics. He knows your situation. He knows your liabilities. He knows your strength. And you are not too much of a problem for him. In fact, if you're looking for justice, God is the place. Now, we know that we don't see justice realized now, but payday is coming. And in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7, the Lord Jesus says through his prophet, "For whatever shame you were subjected to, whatever happened to you, whatever you've been through, wherever you were born, whatever your bad genetic deck is, I will repay you double for any shame." That's like workers' compensation. Double for your trouble. How about it? How many of you would like to cash in on some of that workers' compensation? The Bible says, where sin abounded, grace much more abounds. How many of you would like to tap into that? Grace for living. Grace for defeating the enemy. Grace for the best thing in the world, and that is the gentleness and love of Christ, which breaks hearts for God. Amen? So, your genes. Well, you cannot change your genetic structure, but their function and activity is dramatically influenced by your diet, lifestyle, exercise, and even the way you think. We'll learn more about this afternoon. So I call this attitudinal discipline. And your environment. Your internal environment is how you think. So the environment. And the first environment is the environment of the womb. And one out of every five children born in the United States today has alcohol effects in the womb. Babies who are born to either obese mothers or extremely malnourished mothers, both ends of the spectrum, those babies have double the risk of diabetes and obesity. Isn't that interesting? Because of genetic switches that are altered as a result of environmental conditions in the womb. That doesn't mean you are fated for those conditions, but it means that you're at risk. So you can build an internal and external environment of the way you think and the way you live that can actually alter genetic liability. And then there are our choices. Every single choice we make, and the spiritual elements in our lives is going to affect us materially and physically. Rebuilding a broken city requires a plan, and so does rebuilding a broken brain. You know, God has power. How many of you would assent and agree with me that God has power? How many of you would agree with me that he's got amazing promises? So I can, and I said this at another meeting, let's say I need to be making forward progress in the area of anxiety and depression. I can claim God's promises. I can claim his power all day long. But if I sit on the couch and eat ding-dongs and watch Desperate Housewives, I'm probably not going to get much traction. I also need his plan. Are you with me? It's the same thing as going home from the doctor when you've been declared to have 90% coronary occlusion in your carotid arteries. You can't go home and read healthy recipes and get any traction. So to get forward movement, you've got to have a plan and you've got to act on the plan. And it's acting on the plan that causes material change. And it's acting on the impulses of God in your heart that actually create change. That's why the real miracle is perseverance. The real miracle of God is to do what he is telling you to do. Because that's what changes the brain. That's what changes every organ. Your choices, your thoughts, your experiences, your emotions actually change the structure, function, and metabolism and genetic activity of the brain. When the Bible says that the Father's name is going to be written in the forehead, That means that your material brain is going to look more beautiful than it did when you were an explosive, temperamental whatever. It changes because that's your thinking place. It's called plasticity. Is that an amazing thing? What does that tell you about God? But there's a liability with plasticity as well, isn't there? And what would the liability be? Negative choices, negative thinking, that can cause your brain to go in a downward spiral as well. What a treasure we have. We have the Spirit. We have His Spirit in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. We've got to care for them because of this sacred connection between the mind, the brain, and the body. I love Matthew Deutsch, or Norman Deutsch. He's a psychiatrist who wrote a book called The Brain That Changes Itself, and it says the brain is a far more open system than we ever imagined. And nature, and we would acknowledge God, has given us a brain that survives in a changing world by changing itself. The brain is constantly reshaping itself according to what it learns. Plasticity is this term. So how amazing it is when we sit at the feet of Christ and read His Word and absorb it and repeat it and talk about it and think about it. It has a sculpting effect on your material self so that His thoughts become your impulses. How many of you would like more of that in your life today? He doesn't just wave His hand over you and you all of a sudden think and behave differently. We have to practice His ways. And when we practice His ways, we become changed. By viewing the brain, this is Dr. John, well, that's not Dr. John Rady, but this quote is from Dr. John Rady, neuropsychiatrist from Harvard University. He says this, by viewing the brain as a muscle that can be weakened or strengthened, we can exercise our ability to determine who we become. We're told in Inspire Writings, at times, it will take every particle of willpower that we have. But thank the good Lord that His power is linked with our will. Amen? And He wills in us to work and to do of His good pleasure. The problem that we get into as Christians is we think that the minute it starts to get hard, that God must not be in it. We must not be getting our miracle. But I'm here to tell you that the very hardness of it and the very fact that you have to tunnel through it is the miracle. That's what changes you. Amen? Here is the endurance, the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Thank you, God, for endurance. Thank you that I can feel wrong and do right. It changes you. We wait for God to change our feelings before we do what's right. No, it's the opposite. Healing the broken brain requires assessment. Everyone should know what's going on with them medically because we are organic people. There are forms of Parkinson's disease that manifest as compulsive gambling. So we need to understand that not every root, that the roots of behavior and thinking at times have an organic root. And so we need to understand and get all of the information about ourselves that we possibly can and understand the linkages. Are you with me? All right. So if we know that very low levels of vitamin D are associated with depression and depressed immune function, should we be particular and take care about vitamin D levels? Because there's a relationship. I can pray for deliverance from depression, but I also, in Michigan, I need to take care of my vitamin D needs to cooperate with the laws that govern my being. And, you know, I've written a book called Foods for Thought. It's nutrition's link with mood, memory, learning, and behavior. I've written a book on stress, depression, and immune function called Simple Solutions is What You're Eating, Eating You. I've written a book on addictions called Living Free. And so this book on nutrition and mental state, it has some very powerful research in it. But I also understand that food doesn't fix everything. I have met some very mean vegetarians, okay? Like, they're out there. thankfully, God has given us so many tools. And the more I understand those tools, the more successful I can be in my walk with God, because they're His. You know, so we think about, and I don't want to digress because I have a time limit here, but we think of serotonin. That's a neurotransmitter, correct? You've heard of serotonin. People take serotonin reuptake inhibitors to fight depression. Well, only 5% of serotonin is even manufactured in the brain. 95% of it is manufactured in the GI tract. So the Lord has built all kinds of backup systems within us for healing. It's absolutely amazing. It's these compensatory systems. There are 50 neurotransmitters that are associated with mood. Did you know that you could have 50 different moods? 50 of them. And they are all capable of action at a distance. And the amazing thing is that all 50 of those chemical messengers, those molecules of emotion, as it were, they are all made, stored, and secreted in the mobile cells of your immune system, the cells of the respiratory system, and the cells of the GI tract. So when I treat my body temple correctly, these messengers of well-being assist mental function and mood and learning and behavior. When I think properly, when I engage in attitudinal disciplines that help my thinking and my speaking and my emotions, that trim them and trim their sails, so to speak, that it assists in physical, metabolic, and digestive health. Isn't that just wonderful? Doesn't it make you want to worship God? That He's built all these backup systems? So, your environment, these are the keys for moving forward. These are the keys that I believe we all need to know. The environment is your internal environment of how you think. And I believe that our thinking habits, 60% of what we think is habitual, our thinking habits need just as much retooling as our physical habits. Would you agree with me on this? So, the internal environment of how you think, the external environment of what surrounds you, so very, very important. Lifestyle choices have a very dramatic effect. Connections, connecting with each other, connecting with God, and managing stress. We all need to have a go-to program for positive ways of managing stress. And if you don't remember anything else from today, I will tell you from personal experience of going through a horrific, long, lingering death with my husband. I will tell you that what you learn in the light, what you do in the light, what you have, what has become habitual in your life during times of peace is exactly what you're going to do in times of crisis. A time of crisis is not a time to learn something new. You may have a new revelation from God during that time, a deepening of your experience, but the habits that you acquire in times of peace will hold you during times of trial. Are you with me? Whether it's Bible study habits, whether it's worship, whether it's exercise, whether it's healthy eating, healthy thinking, social connectedness. When my husband became so very ill, I realized that I had almost no real social connections. I was so busy in ministry. My husband and I were so incredibly happy with each other's company, and I realized that I was in big trouble. And I actually had to make some phone calls and ask for some people to connect with me. So that was a very, very big lesson for me. So getting that assessment, the internal environment of how we think, and what we surround ourselves with to remind our brains of what our decisions are. Lifestyle choices, very, very important. We're going to talk more about these in detail this afternoon when we talk about the addicted brain, because the addicted brain is fighting hard, but not fighting smart. How many of you want to fight smart? We got to have every tool in the box. Your environment is what surrounds you. Your biology is what changes you. Your brain is what drives you. Your culture is what pressures you. And the spirit is who leads you. I need to have tools for every one of those areas. What do you say? Connecting with God, connecting with others. This is amazing. A lack of social relationships is equivalent in terms of death from all causes and heart health. It's equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Isn't that incredible? It's more significant than diabetes and obesity combined. You are designed for a relationship. The Bible says, "Give me your heart." So God speaks of the heart as more than an organ that pumps blood. The Bible uses the heart to represent the springboard of our actions and the seat of our emotions. So why not let Christ, the God of healing, the God of comfort, and the God of love, help you to form new habits and renew your inner life today? Would you like to make that decision today? The Bible says, consider your ways. It is God's purpose for you to flourish and not flounder. How many of you would like, are tired of just being stuck, and you'd like to take a step up Jacob's ladder? Yes, we have trials in life, and they're serious. The Bible says in Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. He cares about your welfare. He has a plan. And he wants you to walk in hope. How many of you want to walk in hope today? The idea that the brain is a muscle that grows with exercise is not just a metaphor. We understand the phrase, practice makes perfect, but practice also makes permanent. Repeating God's word, walking by truth instead of facts. The facts are what surround you. His truth is what guides us. The Bible says to fear God, and the time has come for us to give glory to him. And we can glorify God in our body and in our spirits. They are his. You can trust yourself in his hands through thick and thin, through ups and downs, when you have failed, when you are stuck, when you don't know what to do. He is there for you. We worship him today, but we need to worship him in every area of our lives. You were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are his. Isn't it great that our brains respond to healthier thinking and living and his principles? Do you want a deeper relationship with God in his word and in his ways? That's where the rubber meets the road. How many of you would like to have that deep experience with God in a way that you haven't yet understood? You've not understood as clearly as maybe it's coming home to your heart today. His plan for you, his power, and his promises all work together to change you over time. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And that word transformed actually is the same word that we use, metamorphosis. A caterpillar turns to liquid before it becomes a butterfly. By the renewing of your mind, that you may experience dependent plasticity, that you can experience his good and his perfect will for you. Do you feel like you've been turned to liquid through the circumstances of life, through your own problems? God is ready to transform you today. And I'm going to ask you now, if God is speaking to your heart, I believe he is. There are some areas where he has not had supreme reign, and change is scary, but he wants you to flourish and not flounder. Will you trust him with that change right now? Because the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. There's joy in full surrender. How many of you want to take that step today? If that is your decision, I'd like you to stand to your feet with me. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, I am so thankful for your transforming power in my life, that you can turn messes into miracles, that you renew body, mind, spirit, emotions, relationships, every principle, everything that sin has broken and robbed us of, you want to give back. And it's time for us to give glory to you. You deserve better than what we've given you. And I pray, dear God, as you have healed me and continue to heal me as I look to you, that you will just be with each and every one. You have spoken to hearts today. And I pray, dear God, that you will reach down from heaven and that we will reach our trembling hands up to you for victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we thank you, Lord. Strengthen our faith to believe what you have said, to walk in your ways, to worship you according to your truth and not our feelings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please remain standing as we sing our closing hymn, Sound the Battle Cry. By thy grace, when the battle's done and the victory's won. 614 in your hymnals.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleam.